By the way, everybody is talking about life lessons from yesterday. I got one to share on Saturday night. We went to ALCS Game 5. And there was a lesson learned in the game, and there was certainly a lesson learned after the game, because everybody talks about fans. We'll give you case in point coming up here at 7:20 about something I observed on Saturday night after that game with a lot of Yankees fans. 216-474-0092. At some point, like, I have to look forward to this. I know we spent an hour talking about, you know, is it the fans' fault? Is it not the fans' fault? It's not the fans' fault for anything. You're paying customers, you go there. I can't sit there and condone, and I wouldn't condone cheering for a guy getting hurt. But at the same time, I think fans, this is, I mean, you had fans in Texas throwing bottles on Saturday night at the refs, which is something we've been through before. Which
it worked. They got the call reversed.
Technically it did. We've been through this a lot. And when you have 70,000 people, yeah, there's going to be some people. Do I think that all Texas fans are garbage? Nope. And I don't think that all Browns fans, by and large, I would say 99% of Browns fans are not garbage. I would say that there's always going to be a 1% out there that, yeah, probably wouldn't want to hang out with those people. Probably wouldn't want to be around them. But there we are. And I don't want to turn this. It sickens me that this is going to turn into fans versus players, because fans are going to remember this. And unless they change it, you know, there's plenty of fans out there. They did not celebrate in that. The vast majority of fans out there did not celebrate in what happened to Deshaun Watson out there on the field. And they will remember these comments and being talked down to. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. But at some point, I look at what this is. I don't know what the ramifications are. It seems trite at this moment, contractually, salary cap-wise, whatever. I've said it for weeks. Daniel Jeremiah said it himself. Like, with the way that was going, healthy or not, you're taking a quarterback. And the only way you're not taking a quarterback here is if Dorian Thompson-Robinson were to go out there and play. Now, he did not know. It's to my understanding, he did not know he was going to be the primary backup going into this one.
This was bizarre how this story unfolded. Yesterday, I think it was either Aditi, Adam Archuleta was on the broadcast too, and they were kind of talking about how DTR didn't find out till Friday. It was like this big surprise.
Why are we always surprising him?
And that not only was he going to be the backup, but I think more importantly, that they had it in the playbook that he was going to be used in certain packages.
Why?
So, I mean, they're a desperate team, so I can kind of understand. They had used Jameis in some packages, but those were short yardage and goal line. I can understand them looking for a spark. I can't understand not unveiling that to your player until Friday.
So this
he
is,
should know on Monday.
So they can say whatever they want to about this not being a white flag. This is full white flag. Because if you weren't raising a white flag, you would start the veteran. You would start, or you would have Jameis Winston ready. That would be the guy who would play, because he's a veteran. He would be more able to take care of the football than what you would have with a very young guy. Like, you can't tell me that. I don't understand that. Why do we always have to surprise Dorian Thompson-Robinson when he's going to play in an NFL game? And watching him yesterday, guys, that was all instinct. He was trying to ball out as best he could. I mean, you saw him putting his body on the line with every single play. Like, he was based on pure instinct.
He got
yesterday
helicoptered on the sidelines,
yes,
on one of those runs. They had a successful run in them that totally fooled Cincinnati, and clearly something Cincinnati wasn't prepared for, so maybe that was going to be part of the package that they had him. I wonder this, Kenny, like, was this the game they were ready to actually bench Deshaun?
When they came out and they said that he was going to be the backup, I talked to a member of the media that you will hear on The Fan eventually here, and he's like, they think that maybe DTR could be, as of right now, because Deshaun Watson going into the game was rattled and has been rattled, that maybe DTR is their brightest hope for their future.
Well,
so
and
when you say that, like, I thought that very well could be the game where, hey, man, if he ain't gotten anything going at halftime, they could very well take him out and put in DTR.
Well, yeah, at 1-5, too, and just looking where they're at in the AFC and all of that. I know the players were talking about, hey, you've got finally divisional opponents coming up because you got Cincinnati, you got Baltimore. But also, if you were starting to lose and it was going to go wayward during that game, well, now you're thinking you're 1-6, so what's it matter? And we have to see what we have in DTR. Going to Jameis doesn't even really make sense at that point.
Here's Kevin asked if DTR got reps in practice.
Did Dory get any reps with the ones in practice last week?
Yeah, our backups really don't get reps with the ones.
Okay, so there was no reps in practice.
And by the way, that's normal. pretty standard around the NFL.
But he didn't know on Monday that he could be.
That's what's amazing to me, because
even Wednesday,
they have people looking at tape of the Bengals really by the end of last week. That's typically how it works for the NFL. So they knew if there were going to be packages that DTR they thought could excel in and could trick Cincinnati. If we're just talking packages, not, hey, we might have him ready in case we want to go in another direction. Why wouldn't they put that on his radar on Monday so he can start practicing? Kenny, you know, there is a difference in this league. They say, hey, be ready. Be ready at any moment. But be ready at any moment is a little different from, hey, on Monday, be ready because we are calling your number. We are including your packages on Sunday. Mm-hmm. That's different. Now you're mentally in a different headspace than, hey, you've got to be ready. You're a pro. We pay you. You got to be ready. That's different. Guys are not as ready unless you tell them, hey, we're going to have you in the packages this week.
Here's DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, when he found out he would be the number two QB.
I knew fairly later in the week. I'm still doing my normal routine, doing scout team, pushing those guys on defense. And I do all my extracurricular work, whether I'm a backup or not, to make sure I'm prepared for the game each week.
Okay, so he said, what, later in the week he found out? So, I don't, you know, Thursday, Friday. Hopefully it was Thursday better than Friday.
No, but yes, but on the broadcast, they said specifically Friday. So, okay. I mean, that is something that I'm surprised the Browns even admitted that.
I mean, you're a head coach of a football team. You're not David Copperfield here, guys. You got to let these guys know. You got to let these guys know.
Why wouldn't they have? Especially if they thought this was a secret weapon that could be used, that they saw on tape. This was finally the game. Because remember, this is the first time this year, right? It was Jameis. Jameis was the backup every single week.
Well, yeah. But when they're saying, well, it's not a fire sale after they trade Amari Cooper, who had two touchdowns yesterday?
Yeah, two? I thought he only had one.
Did he have two or did he have one, Mitch? Do we know? I know I saw one. I thought I heard he had two.
24 unanswered points in that win.
I thought he had. Hold on. Let me go back and find. We want to get this accurate here, everybody. Do you know right off the top? Do we know? How many? We'll find out.
Yeah, four catches, 66 yards, one touchdown.
One touchdown. Okay, I don't want to miscount. He had one touchdown. Four catches for 66. Good for Amari. Whatever. Anyway, like when they said that they were when they traded him, they said it wasn't a fire sale. Well, if it's not a fire sale, then like you have veterans on the team. Well, you would put the veteran quarterback out there. If you're not going to put the veteran quarterback out there, that means you plan to separate from some of the veterans on your team. And you're going to figure out what you have because you're planning for 2025. You're planning for 2025. So if you saw Cam Ward have their great big game offensively against Louisville, then fine, dust off that argument. If you saw Garrett Nussmeier play so well here over the last few weeks and that comeback against Ole Miss last week, then get that argument ready. If you saw Quinn Ewers and you believe that he's the second coming, fine and dandy, go ahead. And of course, there is the great Shedeur Sanders over at Colorado, because you got four guys who are the leaders in the barn right there for who you may take. I mean, it's staring you guys right in the face of what this is. And especially even before this injury, but now especially after the injury, it's right there in front of you. Because it's still, I don't know how this is all going to shake out. It's the only quarterback that you can afford that's going to get anybody excited. Unless Jameis is clearly, because he'll eventually, if this continues to go this way, he should eventually start. And unless he completely is reclaimed and they win a bunch of games towards the end of the year, then maybe there's a change over there. Maybe there's a different conversation there. But I mean, you're going to probably, at this level, you're 1-6. I don't give you a great, what's the spread next week against the Ravens?
It was 10.5.
Holy.
We're looking Tuesday. At college spreads now.
Okay. So that's, I mean, you're looking, by the bye week, you're looking 1-8 or 2-7. I'm dead in the face.
Yeah,
that's the only other question. You're getting ready for number one pick territory.
Okay, since we're talking about it, the only other question now is of the quarterbacks. Again, if DTR can play, if his finger or whatever it is,
yeah,
is healthy enough to play, can you evaluate everybody else on this offense? Does it matter who the quarterback is in evaluating them? Like with Deshaun, it was getting hard. It was getting hard. If he's not going to look off the first read, as Adam Archuleta was pointing out yesterday consistently, then even Deshaun had good numbers going into the break, at least completion percentage, but he was getting crushed for not looking down the field and taking advantage.
Oh, Archuleta was highlighting that.
Of some opportunities. So can they evaluate the offense and everything with DTR the same as they can with Jameis?
Yes. Are you talking about guys on the offensive line, wide receivers?
Everything. Because it was getting hard to evaluate. Was it not? Like, with Deshaun, it was getting hard to evaluate the rest of the team.
But you can also look at it and go, hey, is my quarterback holding on to the ball too long? Is he bailing out of the pocket? Are his eyes up the field? Because then I look and I go, hey, is Jerry Jeudy, is he extending routes? Is he extending plays? Same thing with Elijah Moore. And Elijah Moore is probably a poor example because he's more than likely gone after this. Cedric Tillman, Jamari Thrash whenever he gets his chance. And then you look at the offensive line. All right, I'm going to use Jed Wills as an example, even though that's... let me use Zach Zinter since he's a rookie. If Zach Zinter comes into play and he gives up a sack, all right, did he give up the sack or was the quarterback holding on to the ball for 6 seconds? Because they're the best in the world. So if they're the best in the world at what they do, then you're eventually going to get blown by. You can't hold the block up forever. So like these are things that you're constantly evaluating. Your job is to make sure they don't turn into excuses because it does become a confirmation bias. Hey, I drafted Zach Zinter. It can't be Zach Zinter's fault. Hey, I drafted so-and-so. It can't be their fault. And that's something you're constantly battling. And that's why the fans at the end of this season, like because Deshaun Watson is hurt, does it mean that Kevin Stefanski's safe? Does it mean that Andrew Berry's safe? To some people, as of Monday after yesterday's game, yes. Well, we'll figure out after Monday after the Ravens game because these things are set to change. Because as time goes on, you don't know if you trust the people who are going to make these decisions for the future.
And
so they are
critical.
Not out of the woods.
Did you see who was at the game yesterday?
Paulie Modesta.
Yes, Paulie D was in the house yesterday. What? I can't even imagine between...
You notice the weather was perfect yesterday, too.
Oh, it was immaculate.
Just saying. Ain't gonna come here in bad weather. Anthony and Shaker, gotta go quick. Go.
Yeah, real quick, man. I think what the deal was that we were just happy for the change. We have been begging them for the last 3 weeks. Get him out of there. Let's do something to spark the offense. And then they were so stubbornly just kept playing him. They kept playing him just like they did Baker Mayfield when he was struggling. We was asking, can you just give us a spark to the offense? You know, let him sit him down for a little while. And they didn't do it. And I believe that the Deshaun probably would not have gotten hurt if this organization, from the top to the bottom, had just not been so stubborn, want to prove their point with their new toy, that he's going to break out of all this. And they were just stubborn, man.
Well, Anthony, I'd love to agree with you, but it's and thank you very much for the call. We've had several people share those thoughts. It was non-contact. So, I mean, it could have happened with him coming down the steps. It could have happened with him. I mean, it's a freak accident, and it's a shame that it happened like that. It's a shame. Got to go to the ALCS game, Game 5, Saturday.
So, you know when something happens really unfortunate, or you don't know how to kind of reach out. You don't know when it was appropriate. I felt so bad for the way that game ended. And I'm like, Ken and his son are leaving that state. I didn't want to text you.
No.
So how did it go?
I felt... Did you ever see Eastbound and Down?
I've seen a season or two.
I felt like Ashley Schaefer. Let the boy watch. Because it was... You never seen Eastbound and Down, Tom?
No,
it is
not
unhinged.
Really.
You would love it. You would love it. It's unhinged. Actually, I don't know if you would. He doesn't like body comedy like that. I remember Liz walked by one time and I was watching it and she's like, what is this? And she sat down and started watching. Anyway, this is beside the point. So I went to the game on Saturday and I said, he's either going to see something great and they're going to win and we'll move this series on to New York, or he's going to get his baptism. And it ended up he got his baptism. I don't know what on earth they were thinking, throwing to Giancarlo Stanton with two outs. And that is something I'm always going to hold against Steven Vogt until it finally wears off and we get ready for spring training next year, because I have no idea why, when you're up 2-0 and you can put a runner on base, you would throw to Giancarlo Stanton. I'd rather take my chances with Jazz Chisholm than throw to Giancarlo Stanton. I don't understand that. I'm sure every single sane Guardians fan out there doesn't understand that either. But it became 2-2. The win got taken out. Right? I mean, it was a hammered home run. Top of the 10th comes around. This is a tight spot. Lima, you could feel as the home run started to go, you could feel the air and the hope get taken out of the stadium. And then because there weren't as many Yankees fans as I thought there would be for a potential clinching. There were Yankees fans, don't get me wrong. They got very loud. Juan Soto pimped that home run like I've never seen a home run pimped live in my life.
Oh, yeah.
He was, it was every single much. Clue Haywood. Who's Hato from Rookie of the Year when he went around second and was doing the crying thing? I mean, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Because, I mean, it's 5-2. And the wind was out of the sails.
It's game over.
They give it up. I see the Yankees jump over the dugout fence. And they go out there. They mob there. And they start rolling out the cart. And I looked at Axel and I go, like, everybody's leaving. And I look at Axel and go, well, this is history. Do you want to watch this and soak this in, or you want to get the hell out of here? And he looks up at me and goes, I want to go. And so as I went out there, and if I'm lying, I'm flying, and my feet ain't going to leave the ground. I look at him and I go, I want you to stay with me. Do not move away from me. And he goes, why? And I go, you'll see. And we left. I had my hand on his shoulder the whole time. He's 9, and I'm leading him through the crowd. As we get to the steps, because there's people coming down from the 400, there's this guy in a Aaron Judge jersey, and he is cussing everybody out, yelling Juan Soto, and he's ready to take on all comers.
He's like that Ravens fan?
He's trying to start a fight. He's trying to start a fight with a Guardians fan. And Axel's looking up going, oh, my God. And I'm just like, keep moving, keep moving. We got to keep moving. And so we get down to the main concourse, and we went to the furthest spot right by where the seats are. It's thinner. I thought we could get out of there a little quicker.
That's a mistake.
Well, there you go. So there
as
was
a veteran of the ballpark, there that's you go. A big mistake.
Yeah, and I make that mistake every time. You think I would learn my lesson, and I never do. It's
you
always
have
like,
a better chance of hopping on the field and running across the outfield than that.
It's like when people like, the turning lane's right there. What are you doing? Did you think you were going to do this? What are you thinking? So went there. Immediately there was a guy, and he's like, man, I wasn't trying to start. No. You were trying to start something, bro. Like, it was, that's two. As I was walking further, there was another near incident. That was three. And then as we come out, and we're going past the bleachers, scoreboards right next to us, there's that wrought iron fence. And you could see it, and we were close enough. There's a fence separating me and my boy and these fans, and there is a guy in a Shane Bieber jersey, and he's yelling at this Yankee fan. This Yankee fan's getting in his face, and I looked, and Lima, I thought of you. I was trying to text you, but there was no way I was going to be able to get service at that time. Swear to God, as I'm walking by, I look, and the guy's got the cauliflower ear. The Guardians fan has the cauliflower ear, and I go, I wouldn't mess with that guy. I think you need to walk away. Like, don't do that. Any guys with cauliflower ear, they were probably wrestlers, and they're probably going to shoot on you, and you are not going to like the result. And I just had him by the shoulder, and we just kept moving. And he goes, we got to the parking garage, and he's like, that was nuts. I go, yeah. And I said, I can't believe. Now, this is amazing that what happened yesterday. As much as I couldn't stand that experience and seeing guys who were definitely drunk and shooting their mouths off and trying to start an incident with any Guardians fan that they could find to try to prove that they had stones, I do have some friends that are hardcore Yankee fans who are nice guys and understand that that isn't the vast majority of Yankees fans. But the situation itself sucked. It sucked.
I don't even think, is that a Yankee thing or is that just... It's the ALCS.
It
could have been the Baltimore Orioles. There are going to be some fans looking for fights.
So you see what
because that's what certain people do. The sports is just a conduit for them to fight people.
It is.
If it wouldn't have been sports, it would have been a country music line dancing bar. They were going to get in a fight that night.
I start to think of the rationale behind it because remember, they're Yankee fans. Like the bleacher creatures were out there in the bleachers and they were doing the roll call. Which it was in the first inning. I go, man, these people do this even on the road. I go, of course they would. So they were doing the roll call, which if you guys are unfamiliar, they just chant names until the players acknowledge them. It's a thing that they do at Yankee Stadium. They did at the old Yankee Stadium.
And it is a cool thing to see.
It's in your ballpark.
Not in your ballpark.
So I'm sure these guys who have been there, there was not as many Yankees fans as I thought there were going to be. There really weren't. And they started doing like Yankees chants, and they were immediately booed out. They were drowned out by the booze. And so these are people who definitely, they've been probably whooping it up, being told to shut up for 9 innings. They have a dramatic home run in the 10th, and they're going to pop off.
Now they get to talk their trash.
it's not rational to start a fight. That guy coming down the steps was trying to start a fight with anybody he could find.
And he definitely got in a fight at some point that night.
I don't know what happened afterwards. I was glad to get the hell away from him with Axel. But either way, I don't know. I couldn't believe it. I got home last night. Again, when I got home last night, I didn't think anything of... I was thinking of, man, how are we going to pick up the pieces after this? Is Watson ever going to play again? Is any of this going to happen? And then I look at my phone, and I see Greg Newsome getting upset. I see Jameis Winston, visibly upset. Miles is talking about the fans. I'm going, oh, my God. Because, guys, I swear to God, I did not think that there was that. There was definitely people in front of me that were happy that he got hurt. And people around him, this one guy, thought it was repugnant. But I go, my God, here I was getting ready to talk about these goofball Yankee fans. And here we are. I'm going to have to talk about this tomorrow. This is unbelievable to me.
Well, did you get any questions from your son? Why is this happening? Why are grown men getting in fights? Has he seen anything like this? Is he on the internet?
He didn't have a lot of questions. I think he kind of understood. He was upset. He didn't cry. I thought he was going to cry. He did not cry. He was upset. And I said, yeah, man. I go, buddy, you go to games, guys get lubed up. They get the beer muscles going, and this is an unfortunate part of it with pro sporting events is that this type of thing happens.
Now, did your son think because he's fortunate enough to go to an ALCS game? What an amazing thing to be able to go to! What an awesome experience, right? And they jumped out. You're thinking, hey, we could win this game, and he's young enough to think potentially like this is magic. Of course, we're gonna win. I'm here. This is, did you build it up like this had a chance to be a magical night for him? Or did you set the expectations low?
I sat down next to him. I had to look like I was managing the game. I was staring at what was going on in the field. They're up 2-0. Yankees get a runner on, and I'm just staring on going, I can't believe you're pitching to this guy. I can't believe you're pitching to this guy. And the people around us are going, I cannot believe he's, and they are cussing.
He had him 0-2.
And then.
He had him 0-2, and then, everybody was feeling good.
Yes, and then
Stanton
he hits the home run.
Stanton has 8 hits against the Guardians/Indians. All 8 are home runs.
He hits the home run, and then the people were cussing that they threw to him. And I'm just standing there going, I cannot believe you've done this. Like, I was pensive the entire game. I was not my normal self. I was not jovial. I was really excited when they threw the runner out at home. When Josh Naylor scored, I was really excited about that. But everything else, I was very pensive about. Very pensive. And then when they hit the home run, it was a resignation of, oh, God, I'm gonna see this, and this is it, and this is the season, and I can't believe it's come down to this. But I was proud of the way they played this year. I really was. I know no one wants to hear that. But I was proud of the way that the players played.
Yeah, I saw people saying it was some loser mentality to cheer the season. And I'm like, all right, well, the minute the season ends, I'm not cheering the season because I have to watch the Yankees celebrate. Like, that sucks.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I'm not thinking great season right then and there. A couple days later, decompressing, you're seeing, my God, you're seeing how good the Dodgers are, and it's... Now I got to root for that team with their payroll. Yes, I will. Yes, I absolutely will. With that said, yeah, like a couple days removed, of course it was a great season. Went to the ALCS. I thought they were going to be barely winning 80 games this year. I thought that'd be a miracle for them. I didn't know what we were going to get out of Stephen Vogt. Yes, of course it was a great season.
I woke up this morning and I see all these, and I follow several people who are Mets fans because of our connection to the city of New York. And I saw what an incredible season. The way this season started, I go, they have the highest payroll in baseball. If they can celebrate their team, why can't I celebrate mine? And somebody did make the point.
That's a great point.
Somebody did make the point. It's a frustration that you basically have to goad the Dolans into spending to be that type of team that has those type of expectations. Because this is what sucks about baseball, is that if the Browns lose an AFC champion, bad example right now, if the Bills lose the AFC championship game, they can get mad at how things are run, but they still feel that they are on an equal playing field with the Kansas City Chiefs, who are not in the biggest market in the world, that they are still on the level playing field of all these other teams, and the Giants and Jets both suck out loud, and they play in the biggest market in the world. Like, you feel you have an equal opportunity there. When we lose a series, it is, man, look at the Yankees can cover up for their mistakes. They got Juan Soto. If they really wanted to, they could pay him the extra $100 million that he's going to want this year, especially after that home run. if they really wanted to, they could keep all these guys.
Yeah, they don't ever have to lose anybody.
Aaron Judge ever really leaving them was never really a possibility. They were going to hold on to Aaron Judge. They can do these things. And we just can't. We can't. Like, it's a conversation of, well, do we hold on to Josh Naylor? Do we want to overpay Josh Naylor because we want him here? Is he going to be worth the money? Like, these are all decisions that we have to make that they don't have to. And it feels unfair. So
and
when
yet,
you lose,
yet it
when you lose that
like,
series, you lose hope when you lose that series.
But the thing was, you talk about hope, like up until, you know, that moment in extra innings, you did have hope because you just felt like win another game, put the pressure. This Yankee team is not that good.
They played the better AL or the better championship series.
Yeah, they
that,
did.
That,
yeah.
that Dodgers Mets series was not terrible.
And it's terrible.
The Yankees don't do any of the little things that is the hallmark of a team that could go to the World Series. And what sucks is all of a sudden, like Rocchio and the errors, the little things that we, the bullpen, which was supposed to be our dominating factor, they let us down. You couldn't have that.
Did they let you down, or did you go to the well too much? Maybe the starting rotation just wasn't good enough, and finally the bullpen got gassed.
I mean, that's,
I don't know if they let you down.
Well, Class A though. Class A did let you down.
Well, but the two things that you came into this game going, oh, at least we have this, were, well, the series, the bullpen, and we've got Gold Glovers. We've got Gold Glovers in the field, and Rocchio was pumped as he's a Gold Glove shortstop, and his errors were, well, I don't think his errors cost us the series. They definitely stood out, and they'll be the things that are replayed on, especially you've got a guy setting in Lake County right now, and Travis Bazzano, who's a second baseman. Do you move Jimenez to shortstop and bring that guy up at some point? Does this all delay that? There's a lot of those questions.
More than likely. I think that would probably be the way you go about it. But I will tell you this. I was paying attention to the fans' reaction when they brought Class A out on Saturday.
Yeah.
They were supportive. I thought they were supportive. They were very supportive of him. And, I mean, clearly they had no choice, for crying out loud. I mean, this was a big moment, and they were trying to keep the game tied. But it wasn't – I don't think there were people scared or questioning.
No, I mean, you'll go back to him next year. It's not the other world. You'll have questions going into the playoffs. But I think you do that with every guy in a bullpen on every team. No matter how good it is, it just goes to show you that you're right. Like, you do overwork these guys over the course of the year if you don't have a normal starting rotation. We didn't. I think the thing that bugged a lot of people the most – I'll say it, too. This sounds nitpicky after the fact, but – they have that all-time win in Game 3 of this series. That all-time win, and Class A, while everybody was celebrating, was getting the hell out of there. And that one just kind of sticks with me. Like, I know it had to be hard. You got to be with your teammates. Your teammates won an amazing game. They're trying to lift you up, and it just kind of seems self-serving to be the first one out the door while everybody in Cleveland is having the night of their lives, and then you're on Instagram and doing whatever. Like, that kind of sucked.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
All right, so there's been a big question around these parts. What are you going to be doing over the weekends, the rest of the season? What are you going to be doing on Sundays? Yesterday, a lot of people on the golf course. I did notice that. But what about just your weekends in general? Is it starting to shift? Saturday is going to become more important than the Sundays. Oh, and you said you were absolutely dialed in.
I did some scouting for the first time in a few seasons.
Feels weird, right?
Yes.
It's been a long time since we've been in that boat.
Since 2017, 2018.
What'd you think?
Cam Ward, sign him up. I'm ready to go.
Do you want to power rank him right now? Do you want to get to it?
Oh, I think that's the right thing to do.
I mean,
yeah.
Come on. What else would people be thinking about today?
Want me to go first?
Go ahead.
Number one, Garrett Nussmeier.
You've been on it.
Number two, Cam Ward. Number three, I want to fight the narrative against Shador Sanders so bad. I want to fight it back. I think he's gotten so much better, and no one's going to want to listen to that because of who his dad is.
Right.
I think he's gotten so much better this year, guys. I really do. And I want to fight that narrative like crazy, but I know that that's a losing battle. That's a losing battle. People just want themselves a nice quarterback from the draft that it's going to be fine. They don't want any other things that they have to deal with. Nobody knows about anybody else when it comes to Garrett Nussmeier, Cam Ward, so that's the way they're going to go. So maybe I should just shut up about Shedeur Sanders because they ain't going to want to listen to him.
Well, where's Garrett ranked? Most of these rankings that I'm seeing...
He's not there. But I'm hitching my wagon.
What is it that
you
you're
might have
seeing,
the number one pick this year?
He's
Ken.
Not. Well, that's what I'm saying. But I know I'm going to fight a losing battle here about Garrett Nussmeier. I've gotten some quarterbacks right, and I've gotten some quarterbacks wrong.
I mean, I'm seeing
as every person does.
Just a couple of these preliminary lists. I'm seeing him as a second round prospect.
No, but where did they see JJ McCarthy at this time last year? Where did they see him?
But if you end up with a number one overall pick,
you go look at them plays he made in the second half against Ole Miss. Go look at some of the plays he's made this year.
But at number
I know. Like I will take the risk on him.
Like you do a lot of times, and this is why you get in trouble also, and why so many guys end up being first round busts. But you're looking at ceiling, and number one overall. You know, that was part of the issue I had with the Baker that year. It's just I was always worried about his ceiling, and I'm like, you took a guy with a limited ceiling, number one overall.
I think he's got a great. I think his ceiling is sky high. He's big enough. He's 6'2", 6'3". He's thick enough.
So then why isn't he even a first round on some of these lists?
Because, again, I think it's not – first off, I don't think it's the greatest class ever.
But shouldn't that help out his cause?
Second of all, you would think it would, but right now, as of October, they're not going to... Again, where was J.J. McCarthy at this time last year? You can't say it was first round. No.
No, he wasn't.
No. So there's been plenty of guys, but he wasn't number one overall. So if you're talking about number one overall, I'm just saying I know the quarterback that I like, and I like him. I like his tools, even though he doesn't have all the different tools that I think people want to lean into now. Because everybody wants to gravitate towards chaos. My goal is to not put him in a chaotic situation. So in terms of taking off and doing all those other things, like, no, he's not the type of guy who's just going to take off and run and extend plays and things like that. But I got Jerry Jeudy. How about I get the ball to Jerry Jeudy in a timely fashion? Can we get a guy who does that, or are we just not allowed to do that
anymore?
It
does seem like he's always open.
Can I do that? Can I make my offensive line, who isn't that good, can I make their job a little bit easier and go, hey, you know what? He's going to be right here, so make sure you protect him. Can I do that? Right, no, that's against the rules now.
Now, okay. Owen, you're the
just
one.
Just trying to make it easier on everybody.
You're the one. You watched a ton of this. Yeah. On Saturday.
We're not and even I fixing lives. We're fixing quarterbacks here. Sorry.
I don't watch college football anymore. We had a game. Our game wasn't until 5:30, so I had time. And I started on Indiana, and, you know, they looked amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who was it? Curtis Rourke. Is that the kid? But he's apparently has a thumb injury now. And then as I'm watching that and going, oh, I remember Indiana and how they started with Michael Penix a few years ago and then fell off. This team seems totally different. And then I flipped over and saw Miami was playing Louisville and stayed there. Cam Ward, I honestly had not seen that much of him in games. I'd seen highlights, right? But they're just going to show you the best stuff that he has. Just watching his body language throughout the game, I thought it was amazing. And then I've heard you on Shedeur, so I'm looking at how do I plan.
It's gotten
now
so
I'm
much
planning
better.
My Saturdays now, right?
It's gotten so much better. Well, no one's going to listen.
Colorado
to
plays at 10:15 next week.
He's going to get
not
so...
watching them.
Why? 10:15 at night?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the time you're watching. No. Oh, yeah. Get a couple of drinks
buddy,
in
buddy, I got other things
watch Colorado.
Going on at 10:15 on Saturday night.
Oh, no, brother, no. Nah,
Cam
man.
Ward, though, at 7 o'clock nah. against the Seminoles. I don't care that the Seminoles suck. Oh, I'm looking at the jersey only, and he's about to put it on him, and he's just boosting up there. I've become, because my Sooners are horrible, a Miami fan all of a sudden. Because I just
their
like
games
the way
have
he
been
looks.
Amazing
I know how
to
this
watch.
Is going to go. By the way, I know where I'm going to go on this. You guys can read me like a book. You understand who I'm going to want to pick here by the time January comes around.
I don't know.
Cam Ward. It'll be Cam Ward. He's played a ton of college football.
Yeah. I watched Jalen Milroe the other night.
Yes, he has elevated every program. He's elevated every program he's played for. Yes.
Meanwhile, the quarterbacks in the Texas-Georgia game
were 22.
Not so good.
Yeah, he's... I think that he'd be the guy. I love Garrett Nussmeier, but I'd take Cam Warden. That'd be it. I know how I am. I know how I feel. And right then, now, I'm all hot and bothered about Garrett Nussmeier. By the time January comes around, I'll flip. I know me.
There's a kid from right down the street.
You're talking about Drew?
Yeah.
Wait, he's eligible this year? No. Yeah.
Isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Where does the time go? Holy potatoes, he is. I want to. Well, I don't know that offense.
Well, now
is
it
in.
Becomes fixed. Drew Aller's life. Does he want to come home?
I don't know. The last local guy that I was really excited about.
Well, he'll
about
run it a little bit too.
Didn't go really well.
You know, so. It. What's interesting to me is I'm hearing people call into these shows.
I still
and
get harassed over Mitch Trubisky.
I've heard people say, "Well, let's get back to a pocket quarterback." It's like where do those even exist?
Oh, those aren't
a pocket quarterback. The prototypical NFL quarterback now is a guy that runs.
Yeah, we got so much time to chew the fat on this.
This is not 1989.
Because I don't want people to do what they did with Zach Wilson, which is just steer into that. Like, give me somebody who can read it and react and hit his marks, and then if they have to extend, they'll extend. You have to start with those basic instincts first. That's what you have to do. All right, coming up next, the dangerous one, Darrell Ryder. What did he think of yesterday? On the field and currently in the stands as well.